Our reading this morning is from Matthew in the New Testament, if you have Bibles. It's Matthew 14, we're reading from chapter 14, starting at verse 22 and reading on to verse 32. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. I don't know about you, but Simon and I often get a night in together. Well, often we do, now and again. And one of the things that we enjoy doing when we get a night in together is watching something on telly that we both enjoy. Now, when we were in London, it wasn't that difficult because we had a few DVDs which we like to watch, and we also had the television, and we could choose, do we want to watch a DVD, or do we want to watch a programme on telly? But since coming here to Cottenham, we've joined a little programme called Love Film. I don't know whether anyone knows of this, where you get sent a DVD, or you can get sent two if you wish, and then you watch it, and then you send it back through the post, and then you get sent the next one. And so it kind of complicates matters a little bit, because we sit down for our evening in, and we think, well, what do we want to do? Do we want to watch something on the telly? Is there anything on that we both enjoy? Do we want to watch something out of our DVDs that we've got at home? Is there anything that we enjoy? Do we want to watch something from Love Film that's just been sent through? Or do we want to watch those hundreds of things we've recorded and have still not had time to watch? Is there anything we can decide we want to watch together? And inevitably, our evenings of sitting in, watching something nice together, having a meal, turn into trying to decide what to watch. We lay out a few DVDs on the floor. We have a vetting system. We get to one that we want to watch, and then we compare that with the Love Film. Do we want to watch that? And then we think, well, actually, do we want to watch something shorter in a series that we've recorded? And in the end, we spend so much time deciding that we have to watch the series because it's shorter, because then we want to go to bed because we've taken so long. But, you know, it's quite sad, really. That's an insight into our lives. Yes. But it made me realise that in our society today, we have so much choice of what to watch, don't we? In many ways, we are a watching nation. You know, our homes for years have been set up for watching the television. It has prime spot. There were adverts a few years ago from Sky that told us that now you could revolve your lives around TV, because you could record things when you wanted, so you didn't have to miss out on these programmes. We also, of course, have this provision where you can pause live television in case you want to nip to the toilet or make a cup of tea and you don't want to miss anything. You can pause TV. You can have catch-up programmes where you catch up on things you missed, or you can go on the internet and watch them. And, of course, you can set recordings weeks in advance so you don't have to miss a single episode of your favourite programme. We could spend our lives just watching if we wanted to. And oh, how things have changed. I remember back in my day, which wasn't a huge amount of time ago, flicking through the three big buttons, BBC One, BBC Two, and ITV. No remote control, of course, so sitting there, my sister and I took it in turns, who's going to sit by the buttons to click them? We even got excited because we could watch The Test Card Girl for hours before our programme came on, if there was nothing else to watch. How things have have changed. Now we have any number of channels, DVDs, pre-recorded items to make our way through. We could flick to our heart's content. We have such a huge choice of things to watch. And if we don't like what we see, we can just switch over and watch something else. We spend a lot more time watching than we used to. And you know, occasionally, very occasionally, we do more than simply watch, don't we? Occasionally, we actually find something which grips us. Occasionally, we actually find something which draws us into its world and captivates us. We find we have to watch it because it's so gripping. In fact, we change our world to watch it, don't we? We rearrange our schedule. We put our answer phone on. We look forward to this program all day long. And if anyone should disturb the program that has gripped us, well, it would be very upsetting, to say the least. Spooks for me. If ever it's on, don't call. Of course, unless there's a problem, you can call. Occasionally, very occasionally, we go past just watching and we get involved. But most of the time, we just watch and flick and watch and flick and watch and flick some more. We watch a lot. But you know, it's interesting because when we do this, when we watch, we actually find ourselves in good company. We only have to look at the Bible and the lives of the disciples to see that the majority of their time was spent watching. They were, of course, watching Jesus, a higher quality than the TV programs we watch, but nevertheless, they were just watching, as we've seen, as we worked through the book of Luke over the past few months. They watched Jesus as he taught, as he healed, as he confronted religious leaders, as he told stories, as he cast out demons, as he challenged people. They watched Jesus a lot, and occasionally, very occasionally, they got involved. They helped to challenge, they helped to heal, they helped Jesus. But most of the time the disciples just watched and followed and watched and followed and watched and followed. And here in Matthew chapter 14, they are watching again. They have watched as Jesus is confronted by a crowd of 5,000 people, over 5,000 people. They are watching as Jesus heals those who are sick. They are watching and helping as he feeds these 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And they find themselves watching again as Jesus tells them to get in a boat and then he goes off into the mountains to pray. They watch. They occasionally get involved and they watch some more. But then as we get towards the end of chapter 14 and what we're reading today, we find that things change. Because you see, in the passage that we're looking at, we don't find the disciples watching Jesus anymore. Instead, we find them on their own. We find them in a boat on a lake. We find them a considerable distance from land, with the wind against them, being buffeted by the waves, making little, if any, progress at all. Here in this passage that we're looking at today, we don't find the disciples watching Jesus. We find them in a scary situation without Jesus. They're struggling to gain control after a really long day when they're really, really tired. It's just before dawn and they haven't slept all night. Here in this passage, we find them tired and scared and lonely and worn and just about at the end of themselves. When suddenly they look up and they see a figure coming towards them, walking on the lake. And they cry out in fear. They are terrified. They think it's a ghost. Given the circumstances, I'm not really surprised. In fact, at that time of day and feeling as the disciples did, they probably thought they were about to die. But then the ghost speaks to them. And it says this, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Then the ghost speaks to them in the middle of the lake when they're all alone in this terrifying situation and says, I know this is scary, but you don't have to worry because it's me. I know that you're frightened, but you don't have to be scared because I'm here. I know that you're tired, but you don't have to fear, because I've arrived. In the middle of this terrifying situation, the ghost speaks and reveals who he is. Don't worry, it is I, Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Lord, the one you have been waiting for. In other words, in the middle of the lake, when the disciples are all alone, Jesus walks towards them and for the first time reveals to them who he really is. I mean, they've watched him performing miracles. They've watched him telling stories. They've watched him going head to head with the authorities. They had glimpsed who he was. The cogs had probably started to roll slowly. But here in the middle of the lake, standing on the water, unaffected by the storm, if it's not a ghost, who else could it be but God himself? Do you know, faced with this situation, if ever there was a time for the disciples to just stay sitting and watching Jesus, it would be now, in the middle of the lake. It makes me think of when Simon's whole family, with myself, went on a trip to Tenerife quite a number of years ago. And it was a big family do. The blokes had an apartment and the girls had an apartment and we were having a fun time and we decided, let's go to the water park. There's a water park in Tenerife, if you don't know. Spend the whole day there, sitting by the water, enjoying the sunshine. And inevitably, we split into two groups, the girls sitting, chatting, taking in the sun, and the men going round on all the rides, enjoying themselves, bit of banter. Well, partway through the day, the men came up in a big group and said, "Hey, girls, we're thinking of going on the kamikaze. What do you think?" And I'm like, "What's the kamikaze?" And the girl's like, "It's just over there. Near vertical slide with a little bump in the middle. Huge." And I was like, "Oh, no, you're all right." And the girls went, no, you're all right." Boys turned away, and as they turned away, they said those words, "See, told you none of them would have the courage to do it." To which I saw red for some reason, leapt up and said, "Oh, no, actually, I've changed my mind. I'm really keen." Marched on behind the lads. They're like, "Are you sure, Kate? You really, I mean, it's quite scary." No, I'm not scared. Don't be ridiculous. Looking at the girls, they're all going, "Okay, great." Up I go, marching on in my bikini with the men, thinking, "Oh my goodness," as we get higher and higher, steeper and steeper, watching people sliding down, screaming like they're about to die, thinking, "Oh, no, I've made a huge mistake. I should have just sat there, not said anything." So I get to the top, watched a couple of the men go down, thought, "Easy, this is it, I'm not scared." Got on the slide, and off we go. Breathed in, that was the mistake. I breathed in the water. I sat up, that was another mistake. So I find I'm sliding down the slide, sitting up, legs everywhere, bikini everywhere, spluttering, coughing, and I come to a grinding halt about 3 metres before the end, bearing in mind everyone else had slid off the slide into the water. And I can't see, I'm there with my hair, I'm straightening out, I'm coughing, and I look up, and all the men are wetting themselves laughing. Oh, was it fun? Oh, do we remember that time, Kate, you went on the kamikaze? Do you know, I look back and I think, if ever there was a time to just sit down and shut up and let people say what they wanted, then that was it. But you learn from your experiences, don't you? And here, the disciples find themselves at one of those moments. Jesus has just revealed himself to be God in the middle of the water without a shadow of a doubt. And normally the disciples would have just sat and watched to see what happened. But not this time. This time, Peter, in the face of this vision of God, in front of Jesus, in the depths of his weariness, cries out, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water." Oh, this is typical Peter, isn't it? Why? When things are dangerous, when he's in the middle of a storm, when the sea's rough, when he's really, really scared, why? When Jesus is walking on the water, would Peter ask to do that as well? Well, apart from the fact that it's in his character, I guess, it was in that moment, when things were tough, when things seemed out of control, when everything was tired, when life was at an all-time low, that Peter had suddenly got it. Peter had suddenly got it. Here was the Messiah. Here was Jesus. Here was the Son of God. Here was the one that he had been waiting for all his life. He didn't care that Jesus was standing in the middle of a lake, in the middle of a storm, a long way from safety. Peter was sick of watching. He was sick of watching. He was fed up of occasionally getting involved with what Jesus was doing. He didn't want to taste the life that Jesus offered anymore. He actually wanted to live it. He wanted to really live it. Every minute, every day, every hour, every moment, whatever that meant. Peter wanted to be with Jesus right at that moment. And so Jesus said to him, "Come, come, come on, Peter. Come on, Peter, come and live like me. Step out onto the water. I believe you can do it. Come and be with me." And Peter started to do what Jesus did. He got out of the boat. He walked on the water and he came towards Jesus. He started to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Amazing. On a windy, stormy, dark night, at the end of a long, long day, when everyone was tired and scared and totally spent, Peter finally decided to stop watching and start to live. And you know, that amazes me. It really amazes me because, you see, I don't know about you, but I've had times in my life when I felt like I'm stuck in Matthew 14. You know, I've had times when I felt like I'm stuck in a storm. Times when life has felt really dark. Times when everything seemed to be against me. Times when I was scared and I was frightened and I didn't know what to do and I was so, so, so tired. I've had times when I felt like the disciples must have felt. And to be honest, the last thing in the world I would want to do is take on a new challenge. Give up everything I've got to go into danger. Start to really live. I'd rather curl up in a ball and watch the world go by. Because to be honest, for most of us, it's much easier to sit and watch and occasionally get involved, isn't it? It's much easier to set up life so we can watch and flick and watch and flick and get involved when we want to. And in terms of Christianity, well, that might mean that, yes, we come to church, we read the Bible, we pray, we sing songs, we listen to talks, we go on a rota, we occasionally respond when asked. But if that's all we do, then we're simply watching and flicking and occasionally getting involved. Whereas here in Matthew 14, in the middle of the lake, in the middle of the night, Peter wanted more. He wanted more than that. He'd watched the Messiah. He'd followed the Son of God. He'd glimpsed the kingdom of heaven. He'd watched and flicked and watched and flicked and watched and flicked all his life. But now he wanted more. Peter wanted to be a true disciple of Jesus. He wanted to share Jesus' life Whatever that meant, he wanted to walk in Jesus' footsteps, wherever that took him. He wanted to live as Jesus lived, however hard that would be, and it would be very hard for him. Peter wanted to walk on water, and he didn't care that it was dark. He didn't care that he was tired. He didn't care that he might sink. He didn't care that he might make a fool of himself. You see, Peter had at that moment come face to face with God, and he just wanted to live his whole life for him, every single moment. He wanted to follow in Jesus' footsteps. Now, you know, the thing is, I don't know where people stand in their lives today. You know, I don't know. I look out and I don't know where we all individually are. I don't know if our life is really hard and really dark, or I don't know whether actually our lives are easy and light at the moment. And I don't know how we feel about Jesus. We come to church, but I don't know how that means we feel. I don't know if you have just been watching the Messiah from a distance for a long time, or if you've been following the Son of God for a while, or if you've simply caught glimpses of the kingdom of heaven every now and again. I don't know. But what I do know is that wherever you stand, whatever circumstances you're in, however you feel at the moment, what I do know is that Jesus wants to walk out to you into your situation. Jesus longs to be your God in the whole of your life. Jesus desires for you to respond to him just as Peter responded to him. You see, as many of us know, Jesus didn't just come to earth so we could watch his life story. Come to church, listen to his example, and occasionally get involved. He didn't come so we could watch and flick. He came so that we could realize who God was, come face to face with the living God, and then follow in his footsteps, wherever that would take us, whatever that would mean, however hard that would be. He came so that we could be his disciples. So I guess the challenge and the comfort of the passage today is that if you really are sick of watching, if you're really fed up of occasionally getting involved, if you don't just want to taste the life that Jesus offers, but you actually want to live it in everything that you do, then today, Jesus is here. And today, if you want more, he holds out his arms and he says, come, come to me. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Let's pray together. Lord, I want to thank you that you are here, that you are the living God, that you are here with us this morning, and that you desire to walk towards us, to hold out your arms and invite us to follow in your footsteps. Lord, I thank you that you are a loving God, that you meet us where we're at, and that you take us on an amazing journey. And I thank you that when we step out for you, like Peter stepped out onto the water, that you provide us with all that we need. Even if we seem to sink, that you lift us up and you carry us on. But I also thank you, Lord, that you are not a God who is satisfied to just watch our lives drift along. That you desire for us to give them to you, every part of them. And you challenge us to do things for you. And I pray this morning you would challenge each of us in the right way. Challenge us to follow you. Challenge us to do things for you. Challenge us to let you into areas of our life that we haven't yet. That we can really be disciples, followers in your footsteps, living lives as you lived your life. For I ask it in your name. Amen.